Steve stumbled forward with a sob, but Soda caught him by the shoulders. "Easy, buddy, easy," I heard him say softly. "There's nothing we can do now. Nothing we can do. Not for Dally or Johnny or Tim Shepard or any of us." My stomach gave a violent start and turned into a hunk of ice. The world was spinning around me, and blobs of faces and visions of things past were dancing in red mist that covered the lot. It swirled into a mass of colors, and I felt myself swaying on my feet. Someone cried, "Glory! Look at the kid!" And the ground rushed up to meet me very suddenly. When I woke up, it was light. It was awfully quiet. Too quiet. I mean, our house just isn't naturally quiet. The radio's usually going full blast, and the TV is turned up loud, and people are wrestling and knocking over lamps and tripping over the coffee table and yelling at each other. Something was wrong, but I couldn't quite figure it out. Something had happened. I couldn't remember what. I blinked at Soda bewilderedly. He was sitting on the edge of the bed watching me. "Soda?" My voice sounded weak and hoarse. "Is somebody sick?" "Yeah." His voice was oddly gentle. "Go back to sleep now." An idea was slowly dawning on me. "Am I sick?" He stroked my hair. "Yeah, you're sick. Now be quiet." I had one more question. I was still kind of mixed up. "Is Dary sorry I'm sick?" I had a funny feeling that Dary was sad because I was sick. Everything seemed vague and hazy. Soda gave me a funny look. He was quiet for a moment. "Yeah, he's sorry you're sick. Now please shut up, will you, honey? Go back to sleep." I closed my eyes. I was awful tired. When I woke up next, it was daylight, and I was hot under all the blankets on me. I was thirsty and hungry, but my stomach was so uneasy, I knew I wouldn't be able to hold anything down. Dary had pulled the armchair into the bedroom and was asleep in it. He should be at work, I thought. Why is he asleep in the armchair? "Hey, Dary," I said softly, shaking his knee. "Hey, Dary, wake up." He opened his eyes. "Pony boy, you okay?" "Yeah," I said. "I think so." Something had happened, but I still couldn't remember it, although I was thinking a lot clearer than I was the last time I'd waked up. He sighed in relief and pushed my hair back. "Gosh, kid, you had us scared to death." "What was the matter with me?" He shook his head. "I told you were in no condition for a rumble. Exhaustion, shock, minor concussion, and Two-Bit came blubbering over here with some tale about how you were running a fever before the rumble and how it was all his fault you were sick. He was pretty torn up that night," Dary said. He was quiet for a minute. "We all were." Then I remembered. "Dallas and Johnny were dead. Don't think of them," I thought. "Don't remember how Johnny was your buddy. Don't remember that he didn't want to die. Don't think of Dally breaking up in the hospital, crumpling under the streetlight. Try to think that Johnny is better off now. Try to remember that Dally would have ended up like that sooner or later. Best of all, don't think. Blank your mind. Don't remember. Don't remember." "Where'd I get a concussion?" I said. My head itched, but I couldn't scratch it for the bandage. "How long have I been asleep?" "You got a concussion from getting kicked in the head. Soda saw it. He landed all over that soche. I've never seen him so mad. I think he could have whipped anyone in the state he was in. Today's Tuesday, and you've been asleep and delirious since Saturday night. Don't you remember?" "No," I said slowly. "Dary, I'm not ever going to be able to make up the school I've missed. And I've still got to go to court and talk to the police about Bob's getting killed. And now, with Dally..." I took a deep breath. "Dary, do you think they'll split us up? Put me in a home or something?" He was silent. "I don't know, baby. I just don't know." I stared at the ceiling. What would it be like, I wondered, staring at a different ceiling? What would it be like in a different bed, in a different room? There was a hard, painful lump in my throat that I couldn't swallow. "Don't you even remember being in the hospital?" Dary asked. He was trying to change the subject. I shook my head. "I don't remember." You kept asking for me and soda. Sometimes for Mom and Dad, too, but mostly for soda. Something in his tone of voice made me look at him. Mostly for soda. Did I ask for dairy at all, or was he just saying that? Dairy, I didn't know quite what I wanted to say, but I had a sick feeling that maybe I hadn't called for him while I was delirious. Maybe I had only wanted Soda Pop to be with me. What all had I said while I was sick? I couldn't remember. I didn't want to remember. Johnny left you his copy of Gone with the Wind, told the nurse he wanted you to have it. I looked at the paperback lying on the table. I didn't want to finish it. I'd never get past the part where the southern gentlemen go riding into sure death because they are gallant. Southern gentlemen with big black eyes in blue jeans and t-shirts. Southern gentlemen crumpling under streetlights. Don't remember. Don't try to decide which one died gallant. Don't remember. Where's soda? I asked. And then I could have kicked myself. Why can't you talk to Derry, you idiot? I said to myself. Why do you feel uncomfortable talking to Derry?
Asleep, I hope. I thought he was going to go to sleep shaving this morning and cut his throat. I had to push him to bed, but he was out like a light in a second.
Derry's hopes that Soda was asleep were immediately ruined because he came running in, clad only in a pair of blue jeans.
Hey, Pony Boy, he yelped and leaped for me, but Derry caught him. No rough stuff, little buddy.
So Soda had to content himself with bouncing up and down on the bed and pounding on my shoulder.
Gosh, but you were sick. You feel okay now?
I'm okay. Just a little hungry.
I should think you would be, Derry said. You wouldn't eat anything most of the time you were sick. Now, how'd you like some mushroom soup?
I suddenly realized just how empty I was. Man, I'd like that just fine.
I'll go make some. Soda Pop, take it easy with him, okay?
Soda looked back at him indignantly. You'd think I was going to challenge him to a track meet or something right off the bat.
Oh, no, I groaned. Track meet? I guess this just about puts me out of every race. I won't be back in condition for the meets, and the coach was counting on me.
Golly, there's always next year, Soda said.
Soda never has grasped the importance Derry and I put on athletics. Like he has never understood why we went all out for studying.
Don't sweat it about some track meet.
Soda, I said suddenly, what all did I say while I was delirious?
Oh, you thought you were in Windricksville most of the time. Then you kept saying that Johnny didn't mean to kill that Soch.
Hey, I didn't know you didn't like baloney. I went cold. I don't like it. I never liked it. Soda just looked at me. You used to eat it. That's why you wouldn't eat anything while you were sick. You kept saying you didn't like baloney no matter what it was we were trying to get you to eat.
I don't like it, I repeated.
Soda, did I ask for dairy while I was sick?
Yeah, sure, he said, looking at me strangely. You asked for him and me both, sometimes Mom and Dad, and for Johnny.
Oh, I thought maybe I didn't ask for dairy. It was bugging me.
Soda grinned. Well, you did, so don't worry. We stayed with you so much that the doctor told us we were going to end up in the hospital ourselves if we didn't get some sleep. But we didn't get any anyway.
I took a good look at him. He looked completely worn out. There were circles under his eyes, and he had a tense, tired look to him. Yet his dark eyes were still laughing and carefree and reckless.
You look beat, I said frankly. I bet you ain't had 3 hours sleep since Saturday night.
He grinned, but didn't deny it.
Scoot over.
He crawled over me and flopped down, and before Derry came back in with the soup, we were both asleep.
Chapter 11.
I had to stay in bed a whole week after that. That bugged me. I'm not the kind that can lie around looking at the ceiling all the time. I read most of the time and drew pictures. One day, I started flipping through one of Soda's old yearbooks and came across a picture that seemed vaguely familiar. Not even when I read the name Robert Sheldon did it hit me who it was. And then I finally realized it was Bob. I took a real good long look at it. The picture didn't look a whole lot like the Bob I remembered, but nobody ever looks like his picture in a yearbook anyway. He had been a sophomore that year. That would make him about 18 when he died. Yeah, he was good-looking even then, with a grin that reminded me of Soda's, a kind of a reckless grin. He had been a handsome black-haired boy with dark eyes, maybe brown like Soda's, maybe dark blue like the Shepherd boy's. Maybe he'd had black eyes, like Johnny. I had never given Bob much thought. I hadn't had time to think. But that day I wondered about him. What was he like? I knew he liked to pick fights, had the usual soche belief that living on the West Side made you Mr. Super Tough, looked good in dark wine-colored sweaters, and was proud of his rings. But what about the Bob Sheldon that Cherry Valance knew? She was a smart girl. She didn't like him just because he was good-looking. Sweet and friendly, stands out from the crowd. That's what she had said. A real person, the best buddy a guy ever had, kept trying to make somebody stop him. Randy had told me that. Did he have a kid brother who idolized him? Maybe a big brother who kept bugging him not to be so wild? His parents let him run wild. Because they loved him too much or too little? Did they hate us now? I hoped they hated us, that they weren't full of that pity the victims of environment junk the social workers kept handing Curly Shepherd every time he got sent off to reform school. I'd rather have anybody's hate than their pity. But then, maybe they understood, like Cherry Valance. I looked at Bob's picture and I could begin to see the person we had killed. A reckless, hot-tempered boy, cocky and scared stiff at the same time. Pony boy? Yeah? I didn't look up. I thought it was the doctor. He'd been coming over to see me almost every day, although he didn't do much except talk to me. There's a guy here to see you. Says he knows you. Something in Derry's voice made me look up, and his eyes were hard. His name's Randy. Yeah, I know him, I said. You want to see him? Yeah, I shrugged. Sure, why not? A few guys from school had dropped by to see me. I have quite a few friends at school, even if I am younger than most of them and don't talk much. But that's what they are, school friends, not buddies. I had been glad to see them, but it bothered me because we live in kind of a lousy neighborhood and our house isn't real great. It's run down looking and everything, and the inside's kind of poor looking too, even though for a bunch of boys we do a pretty good job of house cleaning. Most of my friends at school come from good homes, not filthy rich like the Socias, but middle class anyway. It was a funny thing. It bugged me about my friends seeing our house, but I couldn't have cared less about what Randy thought. Hi, Pony Boy. Randy looked uncomfortable standing in the doorway. Hi, Randy, I said. Have a seat if you can find one. Books were lying all over everything. He pushed a couple off a chair and sat down. How you feeling? Cherry told me your name was on the school bulletin. I'm okay. You can't really miss my name on any kind of bulletin. He still looked uncomfortable, although he tried to grin. Want a smoke? I offered him a weed, but he shook his head. No, thanks. Pony Boy, one reason I came here was to see if you were okay, but you... We gotta go see the judge tomorrow. Yeah, I said, lighting a cigarette. I know. Hey, holler if you see one of my brothers coming. I'll catch it for smoking in bed. My dad says for me to tell the truth and nobody can get hurt. He's kind of upset about all this. I mean, my dad's a good guy and everything, better than most, and I kind of let him down being mixed up in all this. I just looked at him. That was the dumbest remark I ever heard anyone make. He thought he was mixed up in this? He didn't kill anyone. He didn't get his head busted in a rumble. It wasn't his buddy that was shot down under a streetlight. Besides, what did he have to lose? His old man was rich. He could pay whatever fine there was for being drunk and picking a fight. I wouldn't mind getting fined, Randy said. But I feel lousy about the old man. And it's the first time I've felt anything in a long time. The only thing I'd felt in a long time was being scared. Scared stiff. I put off thinking about the judge and the hearing for as long as I could. Soda and Derry didn't like to talk about it either, so we were all silently counting off the days while I was sick, counting the days that we had left together. But with Randy sticking solidly to the subject, it was impossible to think about anything else. My cigarette started trembling.
I guess your folks feel kind of awful about it, too.
My parents are dead. I live here with just Derry and Soda, my brothers. I took a long drag on my cigarette. That's what's worrying me. If the judge decides Derry isn't a good guardian or something, I'm liable to get stuck in a home somewhere. That's the rotten part of this deal. Derry is a good guardian. He makes me study and knows where I am and who I'm with all the time. I mean, we don't get along so great sometimes, but he keeps me out of trouble, or did. My father didn't yell at me as much as he does.
I didn't know that.
Randy looked worried. He really did. A soche, even. Worried because some kid greaser was on his way to a foster home or something. That was really funny. I don't mean funny. You know what I mean.
Listen to me, Pony. You didn't do anything.
It was your friend Johnny that had the knife. I had it. I stopped him. He was looking at me strangely. I had the knife. I killed Bob. Randy shook his head.
I saw it. You were almost drowned. It was the black-headed guy that had the switchblade. Bob scared him into doing it. I saw it.
I was bewildered. I killed him. I had a switchblade, and I was scared they were going to beat me up.
No, kid, it was your friend, the one who died in the hospital.
Johnny is not dead. My voice was shaking. Johnny is not dead.
Hey, Randy.
Derry stuck his head in the door.
I think you better go now.
Sure,
Randy said. He was still looking at me kind of funny.
See you around, Pony.
Don't ever say anything to him about Johnny,
I heard Derry say in a low voice as they went out.
He's still pretty racked up, mentally and emotionally. The doc said he'd get over it if we gave him time.
I swallowed hard and blinked. He was just like all the rest of the socias. Cold-blooded mean. Johnny didn't have anything to do with Bob's getting killed.
Pony boy Curtis, put out that cigarette.
Okay, okay. I put it out. I ain't gonna go to sleep smoking, Derry. If you make me stay in bed, there ain't anywhere else I can smoke.
You're not gonna die if you don't get a smoke. But if that bed catches on fire, you will. You couldn't make it to the door through that mess.
Well, golly, I can't pick up, and Soda doesn't, so I guess that leaves you. He was giving me one of those looks. All right, I said. That don't leave you. Maybe Soda'll straighten it up a little.
Maybe you can be a little neater, huh, little buddy?
He'd never called me that before. Soda was the only one he ever called little buddy. Sure, I said. I'll be more careful.
Chapter 12.
The hearing wasn't anything like I thought it would be. Besides Derry and Soda and me, nobody was there except Randy and his parents and Cherry Valance and her parents and a couple of the other guys that had jumped Johnny and me that night. I don't know what I expected the whole thing to be like. I guess I've been watching too many Perry Mason shows. Oh, yeah, the doctor was there, and he had a long talk with the judge before the hearing. I didn't know what he had to do with it then, but I do now. First, Randy was questioned. He looked a little nervous, and I wished they'd let him have a cigarette. I wished they'd let me have a cigarette. I was more than a little shaky myself. Derry had told me to keep my mouth shut no matter what Randy and everybody said, that I'd get my turn. All the socias told the same story and stuck mainly to the truth, except they said Johnny had killed Bob. But I figured I could straighten that point out when I got my turn. Cherry told them what had happened before and after Johnny and I had been jumped. I think I saw a couple of tears slide down her cheeks, but I'm not sure. Her voice was sure steady, even if she was crying. The judge questioned everyone carefully, but nothing real emotional or exciting happened like it does on TV. He asked Derry and Soda a little bit about Dally. I think to check our background and find out what kind of guys we hung out with. Was he a real good buddy of ours? Derry said,
Yes, sir.
Looking straight at the judge, not flinching. But Soda looked at me like he was sentencing me to the electric chair before he gave the same answer. I was real proud of both of them. Dally had been one of our gang, and we wouldn't desert him. I thought the judge would never get around to questioning me. Man, I was scared almost stiff by the time he did. And you know what? They didn't ask me a thing about Bob's getting killed. All the judge did was ask me if I liked living with Derry, if I liked school, what kind of grades I made, and stuff like that. I couldn't figure it out then, but later I found out what the doctor had been talking to the judge about. I guess I looked as scared as I really was, because the judge grinned at me and told me to quit chewing my fingernails. That's a habit I have. Then he said I was acquitted and the whole case was closed. Just like that. Didn't even give me a chance to talk much. But that didn't bother me a lot. I didn't feel like talking anyway. I wish I could say that everything went back to normal, but it didn't. Especially me. I started running into things, like the door, and kept tripping over the coffee table and losing things. I always have been kind of absent-minded, but man, then I was lucky if I got home from school with the right notebook and with both shoes on. I walked all the way home once in my stocking feet and didn't even notice it until Steve made some bright remark about it. I guess I'd left my shoes in the locker room at school, but I never did find them. And another thing, I quit eating. I used to eat like a horse, but all of a sudden I wasn't hungry. Everything tasted like bologna. I was lousing up my schoolwork, too. I didn't do too badly in math because Derry checked over my homework in that and usually caught all my mistakes and made me do it again. But in English, I really washed out. I used to make A's in English, mostly because my teacher made us do compositions all the time. I mean, I know I don't talk good English. Have you ever seen a hood that did? But I can write it good when I try. At least I could before. Now I was lucky to get a D on a composition. It bothered my English teacher, the way I was goofing up, I mean. He's a real good guy who makes us think, and you can tell he's interested in you as a person, too. One day he told me to stay in after the rest of the class left. Ponyboy, I'd like to talk to you about your grades. Man, I wished I could beat it out of there. I knew I was flunking out in that class, but golly, I couldn't help it. There's not much to